Our scripture reading this morning is taken from Matthew chapter 13, verse 44. It's a very brief passage, but powerful in its implications. Consider these words. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure that a man discovered hidden in a field. In his excitement, he hid it again and sold everything he owned to get enough money to buy the field and to get the treasure too. May God add his blessing to this, the reading of his holy word.
Now we'll turn in the black books to hymn number 2160, Into My Heart, 2160.
It is a real joy for me to be with you. I know there are some of you wags who are sitting here Wednesday night and even this morning who said you thought I was a phantom because you haven't seen me yet. Well, for all the good things Ellen says about you as a church, I've been wondering if you are a phantom congregation. So I'm delighted to see you as well. And I do want to say this morning that you have absolutely the best interim pastor in the state of Ohio who is serving you these days. You know that Ellen and I served in Europe for 5 years, and our responsibility at the International Baptist Theological Seminary was to provide conferences, and we had typically pastors from Eastern Europe come to join us, and sometimes we would take a conference on the road. One summer when we were holding a conference in Prague itself, there were five pastors who came from the country of Romania. I had found out just about a month before this conference that there was actually, in a small village outside of Prague, by the name of Jatets, a Romanian Czech congregation that was basically made up of Czech-speaking Romanians who had come from the old country. And I thought, while these pastors are here at our conference, we should go so that the people here in the Czech Republic could meet some pastors from the old country. One of our instructors that week was also from Romania. He had been educated in Great Britain, so he spoke English very well. A Sunday morning came that week, and those five pastors and our instructor and myself loaded up in a car, and we went to Jatets. We got there about 5 minutes before the service started. And as usual, the pastor greeted us at the front door when we entered, and then he said, this is typical of churches in Central and Eastern Europe, he said, who's going to preach today? we need three preachers. And so one of the Romanian pastors immediately said, well, I'll preach. And then another one reluctantly said, I guess I could preach. And then no one else said anything. And the worship was ready to start. So I said, I'll preach the third sermon. Okay, good. So we came in. Congregation sang a hymn. There were some choir numbers and that sort of thing. Then the first Romanian pastor got up to preach. He could not speak English or Czech, just Romanian. The young pastor of that congregation could speak Romanian and Czech because he himself was from Romania. So the first pastor preached. The pastor of the congregation translated from Romanian into Czech. He finished after about 20 minutes, and they had another choir number and scripture reading, and then the second pastor got up, who also preached in Romanian, and the pastor translated his Romanian into Czech. Choir sang, congregation sang another hymn, and it was my turn to preach, and I stood up. I was sitting in the front row. I stood up, and suddenly we realized, who is going to translate my English? There wasn't anybody there who could translate from English into Czech. So we scratched our heads for a little while, and then our instructor from Romania said, well, I can translate your English into Romanian, and the Czech pastor could translate his Romanian into Czech. So we all got together in this little pulpit, was standing shoulder to shoulder in this little enclosed pulpit, and I preached a short message, about 10 minutes, which took 30. Short little phrases that Oti Banaciu then translated into Romanian, and the Czech pastor translated into Czech. A couple of times, it had to come back up the line because the Czech pastor was a little confused, and so he asked me what I meant by such and such. I explained it. Ah, he would say, and then he translated the Romanian to Czech, and the Czech pastor would say something to the congregation about it, and they would laugh. Anyway, this sermon I preached was an important one. I knew what I preached, but I had no idea what sermon the congregation heard after that sort of double translation. It reminds me that we as Christians have a responsibility to translate the gospel that we are in terms that people understand. Those who are outside of the walls of this building quite often don't know all of the traditions that we enjoy and our language and how we treat one another. And we have to learn as a congregation how to break those things down so that it communicates well to the world around us. So I want to come to this story from Matthew's gospel that Jesus told about a man who is walking across a field and finds a treasure. And in his joy, he reburies the treasure in the field. He goes home, sells everything he owns, and buys the field. Now, there are a lot of different ways of understanding this little story of Jesus. A lady mentioned to me a few weeks ago that she thinks it is about Jesus who comes to sell himself and to purchase the field of the earth and humanity. It may refer to the joy of grasping the gospel as a treasure and expressing that and selling out to the gospel the good news of Jesus. But I think there's something else going on with this story. Let me ask you a question. Ellen and I enjoy doing antique shopping. And suppose we were in an antique mall and I found an old painting of a pirate ship that I really liked. And so I buy it for $5 and I take it home and it needs to be reframed. And while I'm reframing it, I discover taped to the back of this picture is an old brittle pirate map, treasure map. And I open it up and I figure all the clues. There's an island on this and a particular clues to get to this island and a big red X on the island. And I decide to follow those clues to go and find that treasure. And so I do that. I find the island, I find the place in the beach where the treasure is buried, and I dig it up. And there is a great treasure, doubloons and gold and jewelry and diamonds and gems and all kinds of stuff in that. What do I do with that treasure? What would you do with the treasure? Well, I'd take it home with me. I'd have a wonderful treasure. I could do all kinds of stuff with it. I could sell it on eBay. I could invest it, all sorts of stuff. But what does Jesus say this man does? He finds this treasure in a field, and he reburies it. He goes home and sells everything and buys the field. In our terms, I would bury the treasure in the sand. I'd go home, I'd sell my house, my car, my kids. I'd empty out the bank accounts. I'd get all of this cash reserve, and I'd go and buy the whole island. What do you think Jesus is talking about in this story? Well, I think one thing he may be suggesting is that the treasure belongs in the field. But you can't take the treasure out of the field in which it finds itself. And maybe Jesus is not really talking about the gospel message here, but he's talking about the local church, the congregation. But maybe what he's saying is that you as a church are a treasure in a particular field. When we were in Prague, there were a couple of students who were at the seminary from the Ukraine. And one summer they went to Uzbekistan to work with a friend of theirs who was involved in evangelism and prison ministry and that sort of thing. They came back, these two students came back to the end of the summer with some wonderful stories. One of the things they said was in an afternoon they went with their friend to this prison. They checked through all the security gates and everything else. They came into the prison where their friend was working, and there inside the walls of the prison was a chapel building. The chapel building was specifically for the inmates of that prison. They had their own Bible studies, they had their own choir, they had their own kind of ministries going on and witnessing to the other inmates in the prison. That's the idea of a congregation being in a particular field. They were able to minister. That church made up of inmates was able to minister to those inmates in a way that a church outside the walls could not do. So I want to challenge you to think about yourselves as a particular treasure in this field of Delaware where you are. There's one more thing in this parable, I think, that is significant. And that is, not only is the treasure in the field, but the treasure adds value to the field. The man goes home and he sells everything. He sells out to purchase the whole field, not just the treasure or the little area where the treasure is, but the whole field. And what Jesus may be suggesting to us is that the role of the local church is to add value to the field in which you find yourselves, to so express the gospel, to so live out the gospel, that you are in tune with what God wants you to do in the field in which you find yourselves. I was in the Philippines a few years ago and was asked to preach at the Leganes Baptist Church, a little tiny congregation, probably half the size of your sanctuary, all open windows around because it's in a tropical zone, and right behind the church was the busy, busy highway going into Iloilo City. So all while we're worshiping in this little sanctuary, there's traffic noise going on, trucks coming by, brakes going on, people honking their horns and everything else. It was just a real open, airy sanctuary. Just before I got up to preach, there was a children's message, much like what Ellen does here. But when the kids left for children's church after the message, they went behind the pulpit. There was a wooden latticework behind the pulpit, and behind that was a table. This was all the space that this congregation had. So the kids are meeting around this table while I'm trying to preach. They're talking, they're telling Bible stories, they're doing crafts and things like that. So it's just a cacophonous environment. Now, I'm telling you all that, about 50 members in the congregation, telling you all of that, not particularly because of the environment, but what I discovered is that that afternoon there was a group of young people, about five of them, three high schoolers and two young adults, ages maybe 17 to 21, who went out to a neighboring village to play with the children in the park. They were going out, they were going to push them on the swings, play in the sand with them, tell them some stories of Jesus, maybe teach them some music, and their intention was to meet the parents of these children and to start a Baptist witness in that village because there was no Baptist church there. This was an idea that these kids had cooked up themselves, not because the pastor asked them to, not because there was a denominational movement, but because they said, we have a responsibility to add value to the community around us in which we live. The really astounding thing about that is this was the third village in which these young people were working. They had already started a Baptist church in two other villages. Just because they sensed, we are called by God to add value, extend the value of the gospel to the communities around us. So the question I have for you this morning is, who are you as a treasure in this field? That is, every local congregation is very unique and special. God has gifted this congregation with particular ministries, particular interests, particular gifts for service. And it depends on who is involved in the congregation. Who are you folks? And I know that Ellen and Jane has been here to lead you some exercises as you look ahead to the kind of church that you want to be as the Lord is blessing you and calling you ahead. That's all part of the treasure that you are. But it's also important that you take a look at the field in which you live. The community of Delaware that surrounds you, the state of Ohio, America, even around the world, because part of your field is composed of those interests and ideas that the Lord plants in you. You have some global mission interests. You certainly have local mission interests, from what I understand, the ways in which you are engaged. The field in which you find yourselves is a significant part of who you are as a treasure and how you will express that treasure. And you may need to break out of your old norms and traditions to apprehend some new ministries as the Lord leads you and grows you as a church. The Messiah Presbyterian Church in Lubbock, Texas, was a small African-American congregation. In about 1996, they invited Pamela Baker Powell to preach for them during the month of July, I think, in the summer, because they were without a pastor. Now, in this congregation, there are 26 elderly members and 8 young people. Most of the young people are grandchildren of these members of the church. Barbara Baker Powell came. She herself is ordained. Her husband is pastoring another Presbyterian church in Lubbock. She came, preached for them, and after the 4 weeks, they said, would you consider becoming our pastor? And Barbara Baker Powell prayed about it and decided that she would agree to becoming the pastor of this small congregation. Not long after she started that fall, she got a letter from the principal of the local elementary school. And the principal said, we're having trouble in the school and we are inviting community leaders and church leaders to come to a special meeting next week because we need your help. And so Barbara Baker Powell went to this meeting. In this meeting of the elementary school teachers, the sixth grade teacher got to her feet and she said, I have a boy in my class, sixth grade, who earns $1,000 a week running drugs. He bought his mother a brand new car just a few months ago, and he has promised me that he's going to buy me a brand new house in 2 years. He's making bad choices, but he thinks they are the right choices. And then the second grade teacher got to her feet. She said, I have a young man in my class who just got a brand new pair of sneakers, the best that money can buy. He is the focal point of my whole classroom. He is 7 years old and he earned those shoes by being a lookout for his brother's drug business. And now he wants to be a drug runner himself. We are in trouble in our community and we don't know what to do. Barbara Baker Powell went back to the church with those stories in her heart, and the next week their board of elders was meeting. when their board of elders meet, they meet in the sanctuary because that's the only building that this congregation has, around a table in the center aisle of the sanctuary. And Barbara Baker Powell shared with these six members, elderly members of this board of elders, the stories that she heard from the school. And she said to them, I've got an idea. Here's my idea, that we provide the best pair of shoes to the top three students in every classroom and begin to help these kids recognize that the best thing they can do, the right choice, is to stay in school and study hard. Old Don Cole, 80 years old, said, how much is that going to cost? And Barbara Baker Powell said, there are 17 classrooms in that school. If we do three pair of shoes for each classroom each semester, that's 51 pair of shoes each semester, 102 pairs for a year. I figure it's going to cost us about $10,000. She could feel the air go out of this board of elders because they didn't have enough money even to pay the electric bill. Other churches were helping to support this little ministry in this church. And then Betty Isles, 86 years old, said, I think we ought to pray on it. And so the six members of the board of elders and their pastor prayed together around that little table in the middle of their sanctuary. And when they were finished praying, 80-year-old Don Jones stood up and he said, I think we ought to do it. The next morning, Pastor Powell called the principal from the school and explained this idea. The principal said, what a great idea that is. Where are you going to get the money? And Barbara Baker Powell said, I've never raised that kind of money before, but we're going to try. And starting that day, she and the members of the elders and the other members of the congregation started going out into the community, going into office buildings, places of business, to service clubs and other churches, and explaining this project. They got $100 here, $300 there, and pretty soon got a couple of large grants of money from other churches. And at the end of the first semester, they had enough money for the first go-round. So they came to the awards celebration at the end of that first semester, and the principal introduced Barbara Baker Powell. She said to the students, some of you are involved in drugs, you're making bad decisions. They were a little bit surprised that she would mention that. We want to encourage you to stay in school and do your best, and so we are providing the best shoes that money can buy to the top three students in every classroom. The principal got up and began to read the names of these students. They came up on the platform, got a certificate from Pastor Powell, shook hands with the six members of the board of elders, and sat back down. Pastor Powell had contacted the local Foot Locker and explained the project to the manager. He said, we'll give 20% off to any pair of shoes you sell here. And so that afternoon, there were 40 kids in the Foot Locker at the mall. And almost all of them came to the manager. He was coached. And they said, can I pick out any shoes I want here? And the manager said, yes, you can pick out any shoes because you are a winner. One of the girls who was out there said to the manager, there was a kid at school who said, you watch, they'll send you down there. They'll just give you an old junk pair of shoes. She said, I can pick out any shoes. And he said, any shoes you want because you are a winner. The next morning, Barbara Baker Powell got a call from the principal at the elementary school. She said, you cannot believe the electricity that is running through our school this morning. I've got 17 kids dancing around in my office in their brand new shoes. They can't sit still. 2 weeks later, she got a letter from a woman in the community who said, we have 11 children in our home. My husband is out of work, and our twin third grade boys both needed shoes this year. They're in different classrooms. They both won a scholarship. We can't thank you enough for the shoes. And Barbara Baker Powell realized they were not only changing the culture of that local elementary school, but also of the economics of the entire community. Associated Press picked up this story, sent it across America. Money continued coming in at the end of the second semester. They had enough to do it again. And since then, that little church, the Messiah Presbyterian Church in Lubbock, Texas, has moved on and continued that program in two additional schools. changing the culture, because they recognize that they are a treasure in a particular field. Dear friends, if that can happen in Lubbock, Texas, surely something like that could happen here in Delaware, Ohio. Let's pray together. Lord, may we learn how we are specially treasured to be here in this place at this time. As you guide our thinking and our future, we trust you with our lives, and we pray that we may be aware of a changing community around us and world around us, and that we will be active in communicating your gospel to other people in ways that they can understand. Bless this church in a very special way. Bless Ellen as she leads and all of the lay leaders here as they process all that they are and are becoming as they look ahead to the coming of a new pastor. Thank you that this special congregation is a treasure in this field. Will you make us a blessing? In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. We're going to sing that hymn as our closing hymn, Make Me a Blessing. It's number 505, but I'm going to ask you to think a little bit and change it from Make Me a Blessing to Make Us a Blessing. Okay, now you have to think about those words as you go along, because this is a familiar hymn. Number 505. 1 and 3. These words of the Apostle Paul in our minds and our hearts. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen.